The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So underrated.
Radio X. Welcome to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. It's a quick one this week, Vin.
Very quick.
I'm glad to see that you've managed to trim back the beard and get rid of that mullet that you'd grown for Dave Grohl Day on Monday.
It was well worth doing, though.
We celebrated the great man, David Eric Grohl, for his 50th birthday on Monday. And if you listen in, you're about to hear a great classic album going back to 1993 with Nirvana. Enjoy the Evening Show podcast.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
Radio Grohl.
Very nice, that, isn't it? I do this every Monday night. We look at a classic album, an album that means a lot to Radio X. And tonight we thought we'd give it a Dave Grohl spin and we'd do Nirvana. In Utero, 1993. It was released on the 21st of September. And I'm going to give you some interesting stuff from smash hits around that time. Now, if anybody's thinking, what smash hits know about Nirvana? They used to write about really, really good music around that time. And I'm going to tell you three facts from the 1993 edition, just as In Utero came out. Fact number five in this amazing list put together by the magazine says, 23-year-old drummer Dave Grohl's biggest passion in life is his motorbike, a Nighthawk 550. Here's another one. Nirvana's musical philosophy is to change some kid's life and stop him becoming a welder or a sleazy lawyer. And did you know this, right? Just as this album had come out, they had turned down support slots on tour with Guns N' Roses, U2, Skid Row and Metallica. There you have it. So let me tell you about In Utero. Came out 2 years to the day after Nevermind, which was released on the 24th of September, 91. Massive commercial success on Nevermind, of course, but Kurt Cobain wasn't happy with it. He even called the album one-dimensional. With that in mind, they got a different producer, Steve Albini, who was chosen for In Utero, and the songs were recorded in a two-week period that they were self-imposing. Amazing way to do it. Whatever was on the tapes at the end of those 2 weeks was the finished article. They stuck to it, and that's what happened. The band paid for their own studio session because of that, because they didn't want the record label sticking their oar in, and they were convinced that the album would come a little bit different if the record label got involved. Anyway, they worked from midday to midnight every day and stuck to that work ethic, recording instrumental parts all together rather than separately, apart from Very Ape and Tourette's, where Dave Grohl's drum kit was set up in a kitchen because it had a really lovely natural reverb on it. Once the recording was completed and mixed, rumours were that the label were not happy whatsoever, although the band always denied that. Either way, parts of the album were remixed with the help of REM producer Scott Litt, and he played a part in those singles, Heart-Shaped Box and All Apologies. It was well received, got great reviews, New York Times loved it, top 10 albums of the year list, all that kind of stuff. It got a nomination for Best Alternative Music Album at the Grammys, and it's gone on to be including loads of best evers. Five-time platinum in the US, two-time platinum in the UK. I think it might even have knocked Michael Jackson off number one at the time. Not a bad effort, that. Let me know your thoughts on this album, 83936 and at Radio X. So here we go, two songs from it, Heart-Shaped Box, but right now, All Apologies.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
Radio Grohl. X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
Radio Grohl.
There is a reason for Radio Grohl today, just in case you missed it. David Eric Grohl turns 50 today. Happy birthday to him on that milestone occasion. And we thought we'd turn classic albums over to him as well, with Nirvana, In Utero, 1993, 21st of September it came out. Lots of love for it as well, people getting in touch. Thank you very much for all of those messages. So you heard All Apologies and Heart-Shaped Box, which was co-written by Courtney Love as well. That was the lead single, peaked at number 5 in the UK chart. Despite being one of the tracks that was remixed by Scott Litt, there were only a couple of changes, slightly added vocals and a more prominent bass line. I could have done that for them for a much more reasonable fee. On All Apologies, that was the second single, final track on the album, written in 1990. Dave Grohl recalls it being recorded in a four-track in their apartment. Now, I'm going to go back to my Smash Hits edition 1993 as well. And by the way, in the background, that's Dumb. You know? What a tune. So, in 1993 Smash Hits, Who's Who? Beginner's Guide to Nirvana. Dave Grohl, drums. Born January the 14th, 1969, as we all now know. The only member of the band who doesn't hail from Aberdeen, Washington State. Dave comes from Washington, D.C., where he played in a handful of punk rock outfits. He replaced drummer Chad Channing in 1990, who departed due to religious differences. My favourite line about this whole thing? Dave Grohl is the band's mystery man. Not, he's not anymore, he's not.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Right, we're doing a little bit of a tribute to David Grohl today after Radio Grohl on Monday. He turned 50, his half century, and so far this afternoon you've heard from the man himself. But I thought it would all make sense and put it into context if you understood how he was brought up. And
the person who, without her, there would be no David Grohl.
Well, Virginia Grohl, his mum, a school teacher, now 82 I think she is, and she taught Dave Grohl to sing by singing harmonies to Beatles tracks while they were driving to and from school.
It's amazing, isn't it?
That's how he realised he loved music. Anyway, she came on to talk to us when our book came out. It's called From Cradle to Stage, and it's about rock stars' mums. Now, any rock star's mum, the first thing you want to know about is, surely you worry about the rock and roll excess. What's the moment where you've really thought, maybe it would be best if I was back at home at the moment? Or what's the moment I should call it a night when I'm backstage with my son?
Oh dear, that really hasn't happened yet. I know I haven't been everywhere, and I know I don't know everything. There are secrets, I'm sure, that haven't been disclosed.
Is Taylor Hawkins very polite in front of you, or does he behave like he normally does when you're not around?
He is, yes, he always gives me a big hug after... Oh, two sentences. He apologizes for his language. I tell him just not to bother. I just say what you have to say. I say that to all of them. And they're all wonderful. I love seeing them all. And he's quite cordial and sweet. And I know him well at this point.
David Grohl's mum, Virginia Grohl. What a lovely lady. School. You can tell she was a school teacher there, Vin, can't you?
There's such a... when she's saying, oh, don't worry, I've heard it all before, basically. That's such a teacher thing to say, isn't it?
I've not wanted to go home yet.
Yes.
Like, there's still potential for it.
Don't push it.
She was on to talk about her book, From Cradle to Stage, and in the foreword, David Grohl's written it about his mum. And there's a lovely passage in there about how they bonded over music, and one artist in particular, Sir Paul McCartney. I know Paul McCartney's one of your heroes.
I met Paul McCartney for the first time in Liverpool.
No.
Backstage, at a place that we associate, historically with the Beatles. And so that was incredible. And I've seen him many times since and find him even more charming than I'd hoped he would be. And still one of the greatest showmen I have ever seen. His show is one of the best you can see. He's brilliant.
That's Virginia Grohl, David Grohl's mum, and I highly recommend that book. It's a wonderful read, From Cradle to Stage, which apparently is being made into a TV documentary as well, which I'll definitely watch. So here he is, Sir Paul McCartney, giving his take on his incredible career too.
I mean, I'm lucky really, because I'm allowed to make records, that's the way I feel. I'm allowed to take a guitar and take a lead and plug it in an amp and play guitar. I still feel kind of privileged.
Yeah.
To be able to do that, something I always wanted to do, and I still love doing it. When we rehearse with the band, plug in the guitar or the bass or something, turn it up nice and loud. So to make a record is still, to me, something I didn't think I'd still be allowed to do. I thought somebody would have pulled the plug.
Yeah.
So I just love it.
Radio Grohl.
Now, my name is Gordon Smart. If you're new to the show, on Radio Grohl Day, welcome aboard. And if you're a regular, lovely to have you back for this very special occasion. Hope you've got your check shirt on, you've grown your beard, long hair, looking ruffled. I've been scraping the U-bend of the Slash Gordon archives for Radio Grohl today. Now, if you don't know what Slash is, it's about that awkward bathroom encounter you have with famous people. The daft small talk that evolves from standing shoulder to shoulder at a urinal. Or as Mr. Grohl would say, urinal. Started way back in the beginning on The Evening Show in 2017 with Biffy Clyro, who you just heard a second ago. Have a little listen through the cubicle door to this. Simon Neil.
I've peed next to Paul Rudd. I don't think he's an Ant-Man.
Ooh, Ben.
I once peed beside Dave Grohl in a...
Brilliant.
Quite a dirty toilet tea in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I didn't look down, man. I'm sorry. I don't have any information
don't
for
apologize.
You. Apologise. I tried to talk to him. Mum was something about having met him before. Got really scared. I mean, I was bursting for a pee here. And but nothing came out, so I just had to put it away.
Oh, the stage fright?
Yeah, because I thought maybe he was going to get freaked out that I was just standing beside him to
Luke
Chopper.
Jimmy?
I think for me it was Joshua Homme.
Oh, yes. Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, a rather impressive figure in more ways than one. I think it cast a shadow so deep that I couldn't even see what I was doing. You know, it was dark.
Wow. That was Simon Neil Bent and Jim Johnson from Biffy Clyro. I also played you Queens of the Stone Age, and as you might expect, Joshua Homme, that's Jim Johnson and his casting shadow business, Joshua Homme took the Slash Gordon further than everyone else. You've been an answer already. Biffy Clyro, Jim Johnson, said it was a very intimidating moment, and he said that Josh Homme cast a shadow. That's how he put it. So, Josh, may I ask you who the most famous person is you've bumped into standing next to at urinal?
I'm trying to think. You know, we were talking about the other night when John first joined the band, and we went to Berlin, and he'd been in the band about a week, and I happened to pee in the turnstile of the hotel in Berlin, and the guy was like, "You can't do that," and I said, "It's done, man, it's done."
The obvious ones there, obviously, Mr. Grohl and Mark Ronson, possibly.
Well, I peed on Dave, and he's peed on me. I feel like that's well known. And frankly, I quite like peeing next to Dave. It's one of the things I like the most because it's got that backbeat, you know what I mean?
Learning all the important stuff about David Grohl on the evening show tonight. And finally, after years of waiting, I went up to Manchester last summer and I got to ask the man himself, David Grohl, for his bathroom encounter. He only went and supplied the finishing chapter for my toilet book. Slash Gordon, over to you, Mr. Grohl. I've asked this to every artist who's come in the last 18 months, and you've been an answer twice. I asked Josh Homme. He said, "I've never peed beside David Grohl, but I've peed on him." He told us that. And Ben from Biffy Clyro said he'd peed beside you at a festival. Felt a little bit weird being around you looking at your undercarriage.
How funny.
Dave Grohl, who is your Slash Gordon?
Oh, God. I do remember going to the Rainbow once during the Nirvana years and being in a bathroom that Chris Novoselic next to Slash. And I think he said, "That's quite a splash, Slash." but it was more his experience than mine.
There we have it. We finally got David Grohl's answer, but he stole it from Chris Novoselic. How about that? Queens of the Stone Age, Biffy Clyro and Dave Grohl. That is quite a lineup, and one you probably wouldn't want to encounter in a bathroom. Radio X.